The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. As a priest, countless people come to me when they're in their dire circumstances. It's like the lowest of their low, asking for any sort of guidance. They come to their priest when they've received a cancer diagnosis. They come when they've lost their job or a family or a loved one and don't know what to do. They come when they've just gotten out of jail and have nothing and no one and don't see a point to life, and a myriad of other reasons. But what all these people have in common is not that they seek out their priest, but that when they're seeking out their priest, they're really seeking out Christ, just like the two from the gospel today. Because in the gospel, we have this woman who is suffering from severe hemorrhages for 12 years, and the synagogue official who was asking for healing for his little daughter. They go directly to Christ because they've heard rumors about it. When people come to me as a priest, first and foremost, I direct them to our Lord, probably because that's what a priest has to do, because we have to pray. With any issue in our life, even if it's a minor inconvenience, like somebody cut you off on the freeway, all the way up to I'm going to lose my job and I don't know what's happening, I don't know what's next, we have to bring these things to Christ. Prayer is our first recourse, always. But when I tell them, people, this, then when they're coming in their worst areas of their life, their worst situations, I also have to give them a little bit of a caveat. Because a lot of people, they think that when I pray to God, you know, a miracle is going to happen. I expect this to kind of happen right away. And so I have to tell them there are two ways God's going to answer this kind of emergency request, this emergency prayer. Only one of two ways, but two ways. The first is yes, he can absolutely grant you a veritable miracle for what you're requesting. But the more common way that he answers our prayer is that he gives us the grace to endure, the strength to endure and to carry on. The thing about miracles, though, is, as we see throughout the Gospels, and it's probably not the answer we want or hope for, is that Christ only performs miracles if it's better than the alternative. I'm thinking specifically about some very recently beatified saints. In the summer of 1988, Blessed Chiara Badano, who was 16 at the time, felt a sting of pain in her shoulder while she was out playing tennis with friends. At first, she thought nothing of it, but then the pain continued, and so she went saw the doctors, and the doctors soon discovered that she had a rare and painful form of bone cancer, osteogenic sarcoma. In response to the diagnosis, Chiara simply declared, "It's for you, Jesus. If you want it, I want it." Then we have Blessed Carlo Acutis, a 17-year-old boy who played video games and designed web pages, who was diagnosed with leukemia. And as he was suffering, he prayed, "I offer to the Lord the sufferings that I undergo for both the Pope and for the Church." These two teenage saints suffered a great deal. And I guarantee you their parents, their families, their friends prayed fervently for a miracle. And yet the miracle they were seeking wasn't given. But look at what God has done with them and for them instead. They're with him now in heaven without any pain, interceding on our behalf. And how many countless souls have come across their story and example and have been moved to faith in Jesus Christ? Miracles were asked for, but something greater was given. And even though the normal way God answers these prayers is the second option I mentioned, the strength to endure, the grace to endure and persevere, he still does perform miracles each and every day. So on the one hand, as a priest, I get a lot of like dire situations that come my way. But I also, on the other hand, get a lot of people coming to me like, "Oh, Father, I got to tell you this story. I prayed for this and a miracle happened." But they're small miracles. It's the homeless man who miraculously stumbles upon housing. It's the sole provider of the family getting a job at the last possible second before their savings runs out. It's the person at the gas station who is on their last $20 and their choice is to either fill their tank so they can keep driving and getting back and forth to work or to feed themselves for that day. And a random stranger out of nowhere hands them $100. But there's a difference, slight difference, between the miracles in the gospel and the miracles, the everyday miracles that we see. Christ does both of them, so it's not the actor that's different. But the difference that we see between these types of miracles, the ones in the gospel we heard today and the everyday miracles, is that Christ uses us to accomplish them. In the same way that Christ uses us to accomplish these everyday miracles, he gives us the strength to endure so as to perform many more miracles of faith. Because just like the hemorrhaging woman in the gospel who goes from behind Christ merely touching his cloak, and the daughter of the synagogue official was brought back to life, these two miracles were given not for the healing itself. It wasn't Jesus like, "Oh, you know, you're sick. Okay, I'm going to heal you just because you need to be healed." He doesn't do it for that reason, not in any of the miracles that happen in any of our scriptures. But instead, he does miracles to bring about more faith, faith in the woman who was hemorrhaging, faith in the synagogue official, faith in his daughter, faith in the crowd who had gathered around the entire house and kept pressing in on him. He was trying to increase their faith. But even he was trying to increase the faith with those two miracles 2,000 years ago for us here today. "So do not be afraid. Just have faith," he tells the official. "Daughter, your faith has saved you," he says to the woman. My brothers and sisters, we must have faith in Jesus Christ. We must have faith in who he says he is and faith in what he says he has and can accomplish. Because it is faith in Jesus Christ that saves. God bless you.